Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on your Sunday. I tell you what, again, the weather is changing. We had that coolness out in the weather itself, a little bit of rain going on, but hey, it is the end of October. We're staring Halloween down, the beginning of the holiday season, and it is a great time, and I'm excited about all the things that lies ahead for us and also to our teaching that we have for you today. Maybe you're traveling down the highway, you're on whatever direction you are going, and you turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM. I want to thank you for listening with us this morning, for taking the time out of your day. As you travel, there's a lot of things you could be listening to, but I hope today there is an incredible nugget for you today. So don't turn that dial or push that button. Stay with us this morning, and we want to thank you for being with Vital Ministries. Also, too, maybe you're on your way to church this morning, you're excited, you're headed, looking with anticipation as you go to worship together as a church body. Good for you guys. Have a great morning. Be blessed. And some of you would say, Mike, this is Sunday morning. This is my time. This is my time to listen and spend time with the Lord Himself. And I just want to thank you for doing that today, for being part, again, of listening and being part of Vital Ministries. But before we get started this morning, I just got a couple of dates we need to remember to bring up to you. November 6th, which will be a week from this coming Saturday, 11/6, we are going to have our first Vital Men Warrior Breakfast. And man, if you're going to have a warrior breakfast, you got to have warrior food, don't you? So you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. And you can go on our website at vitalministries.org. Check out exactly where that's at. We're going to go from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to get you in there early, and we're going to get you out so you can get on with your day. You're not going to want to miss this Vital Men Warrior Breakfast, Lighthouse Church, New Sharon, 11/6, next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Next, it's hard to believe, but Vital Gathering is back up again, and we're going to be that's coming up on November 14th. That's at Debbie Celebration Barn. You're not going to want to miss this time as we go together, we worship, we praise God, and all the things that are going on. We have a great night for you. We'll have food. We'll also, too, we're going to have our Vital Ministries band will be there with us as well. And also, too, we're going to have a special guest, Robbie Robinson out of Newton. And he is, he's going to be an exciting speaker. You're not going to want to miss that. And it's just going to be a really, really good time. So I'm looking so forward to what's coming up in November at Vital Gathering. You're not going to want to miss that time together. So please join us, and we will see you on the 14th. And it goes from 5 to 7 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Still, get you home a good time. Chill, have time to go out and check Monday Night Football out or whatever else that you've got going. Just a lot of good stuff that's on the horizon for us today as we look to what God has for us. But today, this will be our last teaching this Sunday on Focus on Him, this teaching series. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been really good. But we've been pushing into, where is your focus? Like most people, our focus can be skewed, blurred, or even blinded when our focus gets off Christ and we lose out and we struggle in the midst of life. Isn't that so true? We just get in the wrong way. We get in the wrong turn. And I especially think so much today as I sit there and I listen on the radio and the news and the different things that are coming out. So many people are discouraged and have lost hope on the things and the conditions that are going on in the midst, to a point maybe within our nation, maybe a point to something that's going on with themselves personally or what's ever going in family. It's easy to get discouraged, and we get our eyes off of Christ and we struggle. You've heard me say, I like in our country, in our part of Iowa, in our county itself, we have the densest amount of deer population in the county. I live on a road that leads to Hawthorne Lake, deer country. Man, if you've never traveled down that highway, man, I tell you what, there are a lot of deer. I see deer most days, and especially near the main road. As I travel back and forth to Oskia of a morning or at night, I'm focused on the road and especially the ditches. You never know what a deer or some critter will jump out at you. You know, to a point I get a little bit frustrated as I travel down that highway, and especially when I sit at home at times and I see how fast people go. And you're flying by in the midst of what I would say the greatest place of deer country, and knowing it's a possibility that there might be an animal out there, and yet there's no regard. I just encourage you folks, at night, we know that they're on the move, especially with harvest season going and all that going on. They get stirred up and they're on the move. So I encourage you to be watching for wildlife. Have regard. But maybe folks, to a point, maybe that's just me. But let's have regard for life. I just encourage you about that today. And today we're also going to look at a verse in the Bible that tells us to run the Christian race focused on Jesus. Running within itself isn't easy, is it? It takes discipline and endurance. You know, I can remember back when I played football a period of time ago for Coach Jerry Staton for the Oskaloosa Indians. At the beginning of each season, we had what they would call this, he had us run this 12-minute run. For the linemen, that was a distance that they had to run around the track a minimum of 6 times, which was the amount of 1.5 miles. For backs and receivers, that was 1.75 miles. That's where I fell into. To be honest, I hated that run. I would get about 1.625 miles and miss the mark only to have to run the crazy thing again on another day. See, I had a friend of mine who was a runner back in the time I was going to high school, and his name was Jack Dusenberry. He would run that crazy 12-minute run, and he would run 12 miles. He did it 3 years in a row, and he ran like the wind. Each stride was precise, and each stride was driven. That's how his race was. See, I think that's a lot of how the Christian life is about when we talk about the race itself. One of the precision and drive. That's why it isn't easy to be a follower of Christ by any means. See, the road isn't easy. And a matter of fact, it's more narrow. I like what the Message Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easy going. To make yourself successful in life that can't be experienced in the midst of your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention." Man, I like that verse and how it says it. I also like the word vigorous. I looked that up, and I think this is important for us this morning as we dive into what the Bible says about what it means to jump into a life to run the race of a Christian faith. It says this about vigorous, the word. It's characterized by involving physical strength, effort, or energy. That's pretty well summarized what the Christian life does. You know, this morning we're going to, if you're home and you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Run the race. Let's look at these verses this morning to see how it is to run the race and to have focus. But let's look at verse 1, and we'll kind of check it out this morning. Because my first point, if you're home and you're writing it down, my point number 1 is this: on your mark. Starting with verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Now, let's think of that verse as we enter into a stadium with a great crowd of witnesses, people of faith. We see men like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, to name just a few of the names that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, what they call the place of faith, the place of the champions, the place in which the people of faith live. But there are also women recognized there as well. We'll see names of women like Sarah and Rahab, all who triumphed in running the Christian faith. As we see these people and about we also see their hardships in life, don't we? We see, if you go back deeper into the Bible and you go back into the Old Testament and read about these people, you will see that, yes, they did stand the test of faith, but there was hardships. There was struggle. There was things that happened amongst their own lives that I think that helps us to stay the course of faith and also stay in the race itself. We see their struggle. See, some of them had family issues. Some had work was a struggle. Some lost loved ones. But all stayed in the race. They didn't fall back, nor did they quit. Most recently, my son has a brother-in-law and his wife who had lost a newborn baby just recently. You can just feel the pain, can't you, this morning as I even say those words. They lost their little baby girl. But I want you to hear the words that they wrote on Facebook, words that I think show the test and the encouragement, and especially about their faith. This is what they wrote. "We are so grateful for your love and your care for our family. As we grieve with hope of heaven, we wanted to make sure to communicate that though our heart is breaking, we can still celebrate God's perfect work and our precious little baby, Olive." See, folks, that's running with faith, with endurance and vigor. That's not quitting in the midst of the hardships of life. There's nothing greater, I think, in the hardship in the midst of life itself than losing a child. I've seen men and women, and I've walked with them, I've seen with them, I've worked with them, that men and women who have lost one of their children, whether it, as this situation of a newborn baby to all the way into adulthood, you can see how the pain ravages them. But yet, you still see hope in their eyes of those who are in Christ, because they know that there is a heaven, because the Bible promises that, doesn't it, to us this morning? That God promises hope in Him, hope in Christ, because Christ Himself overcame death. I believe this morning that encourages us to stay the course of faith. But see, there's also another part of that verse that really strikes me this morning, and I hope it does you as well. It says to strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially sin. So what slows you down in your Christian faith? I want you to think about that question for a moment. What slows you down? What is the stripping that you need to make for you? To me, it's focusing on people. It can make you mad, it can make you angry, and at moments it wants to strip away your faith and causes you to sin within your own heart. Man, I meet people along the walk of faith itself, people who are older, and they tell me, come up to me and said, "Mike, I've come to the place in my life where I just don't much care for people." And maybe that's your struggle this morning. But see, I've recently been working for a company framing for a couple of townhomes for them. We had a little lull in the midst of our work. We had lost some homes at the very beginning of the spring this year because of escalating prices. And they still, folks, yes, lumber has come down, but the prices of everything else are continually moving up. So we took this job of framing for this company and for just labor only. During the process of working for them along the way, if we framed and we've also do some siding for them, I sent invoices along the way, but the thing that's happened is they've stacked up. And my business account, to be honest with you, is the monies is getting a little bit low, and I needed the money for which I had worked and I'd give to them. I'd called them, I texted them, promises were made, but continually no check in the mail. Finally, this past week, the check came, but only to have it to be $10,000 less than the full amount. I tell you what, when I opened up that envelope and I saw it $10,000 less than it should have been, I tell you what, folks, I got angry. Now, but only to have this happen in the midst of my anger. Now, remember, the Bible says it's okay to be angry, but don't sin, right? Angry can be justified, but don't sin in it. I wanted to let that company know exactly what I thought. I wanted to give them a peace of mind and let them know how disappointed I was that I did not receive my full amount. You ever been there before where somebody just shorted you on something? Man, it makes you angry, doesn't it? It gets you frustrated. But as I was dealing with that, the Holy Spirit was working on my heart. Proverbs 15:1 came to mind. This is what it says. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Man, it was right, but it was a struggle. That's the place at times where I struggle in the midst of sin in my life, is with people of getting anger and getting things to the wrong place in which it shouldn't be, and letting unforgiveness come in my heart. That's my battlefield. That's the place where I struggle most. But let's get back to Hebrews 12:1. It says to strip it away. This time, folks, I listened, but still, it wasn't easy. See, sin will cost you everything in the race. Sin cost Cain because he allowed it to master him in his anger. Esau, he lost his inheritance. Samson, he lost his eyes. And Solomon, the most wisest man that ever lived, lost his heart for God. All because they didn't allow it to be stripped away, the weight of sin. That's the challenge, folks, of the Christian faith. A daily stripping of sin is in our everyday, ordinary lives. Which brings me to point number 2, get set. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 again and verse 2. And this is what it says. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Man, I know about you, but man, that's an incredible word this morning, isn't it? See, this part of the race, we're in the blocks, ready to run. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says that he is to have first place is everything. Do you want to know who's the fastest man who lives today? His name is Usain Bolt, a Jamaican. He stands 6'5". He has received 8 gold medals and is the only sprinter to win 100 and a 200 meter titles, 3 consecutive Olympics. Man, that's a lot of years. Do the math. That's every 4 years. That's 12 years. This man has done that. So why is this man so fast? It's his length. He gains ground with every stride. He fixes his eyes on the finish line and runs with abandonment. That's how this man by the name of Usain Bolt from Jamaica wins gold medals. See, I think that's what's running in our Christian faith. To run with abandonment for Jesus. You've heard me talk about Gia, our Bernese Mountain Dog. Man, I love that dog. She is great. She has been a blessing in our home. And she is by no means a sprinter, but what I would call a lunger. She weighs 85 pounds, but man, she can run when she wants to. She can run a distance. And if you don't think so, come by our home some morning or some night, and you can watch her pulling Dana and I around as she's pulling us all over the yard. She runs with abandonment, especially when she sees a squirrel, a rabbit, or some other animal or critter that's out in the yard. She's focused and she's on it. But let's get back to the running in faith. See, Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus is the champion. He won the race of life. He endured the cross for you and me. That's why God sent him. See, God loved us so much that he sent his only son. You can only read John 3:16 in what I'm saying this morning to get a perception of what's going on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. See, Jesus, his name is above all names. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It was full-blown humility for him to die on the cross, stripped naked of all dignity to take on, folks, our sin. Yet, he did it with great dignity, and he did it to receive the prize so that we could have communion with the Father himself. See, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. There is no other way, folks. And I want you to hear me on this morning. The pathway to heaven is only through Jesus Christ himself. The Bible tells us. And it's really simple. See, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is there in the beginning when we get saved, and he is there when we close our eyes for the last time on earth to walk with us to heaven. Doesn't that encourage you in your faith this morning? All the pain in this world will give you rewards in heaven. You just have to stay in the race. You don't quit, don't get discouraged, and focus your eyes on Jesus. See, that's what it tells us. That's what the text says. That's running the race with endurance. That's running the race with vigor. That's running the race with the knowing that the prize is the end, is the finish line. And no matter how fast you run this thing that we call life, you stay with Jesus, stay focused, you'll always win in the race. Which brings us to point number three, run. But we're going to go back to verse 1, and I want to show you something here, what it says to run. It says, now, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. See, that's pretty important. See, the gun goes off, heads are up, eyes focused, finish line is in sight. Run with all you've got. See, my dad, he's 80 years old, and he still runs heavy equipment. Man, this past week, I watched this man tear down an old house and tear down through its foundation and tear down three humongous oversized maple trees, two small outbuildings in 2 days. Also ran a huge track backhoe and a D6 Caterpillar. He would jump into machines from one to the other. See, my dad is still in the race. Only limits is his 80 years old body. See, he works equipment like a young man. See, I'm so proud of my dad. Most of all, I'm proud of my dad's faith. See, my mom has been gone for over 12 years now. But see, my dad, he didn't quit. He has served his family well. But most of all, he's run the Christian faith, the race well. You see, folks, my dad is like the heroes of faith. He's been kicked down many times, but he always gets back up running. See, my dad, he won't be listed in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Fame, but he will be in my heart. And I think we can name different people in the midst of our lives who stayed the course of faith and who continue to live and who maybe have gone now to be in heaven. See, the challenge for me today is to stay in the race. To always be ready, to always be set, to always be ready to go. I want to run for Jesus to be a better husband to my wife, Dana. I love her so much. I'm thankful for her and what she is in my life and what God has blessed me. She truly is a treasure. Also, too, I want to be a good dad to my now 5 married kids. I love my kids. I love what they're becoming. I love how God is using them. See, I also, too, I want to be a good grandpa to my 7 grandkids and one who's coming in along the way in June to run the race, to strip away sin. So when my grandkids and my kids see my life as I've seen my own father's life, they'll say, my dad run the race. He finished. He crossed over the finish line. See, I think that's the expectation of all of us when we read this, to stay focused on him is to stay in the race. How about you today? Where is your focus? Is it on Jesus? Are you still in the race? We've talked about what it meant to backslide and lose our focus. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, if that's you this morning and you have backslidden in against your faith, you have lost your love for Jesus, I encourage you this morning, it's simply getting back and asking Jesus for forgiveness and getting back in the race. Asking him to confess sin. Letting him know, I'm sorry that I failed you. I want to get back in the race. I want to follow my faith. Maybe this morning you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today could be that day. What a glorious day it could be in the midst of a gloomy day that we're having. I encourage you today, folks, that Jesus is mighty to save. He sits at the right hand of the Father. I just read it to you in the Bible. He sits by the Father. He is the champion, the finisher of our faith. He is calling you this morning, wooing you into him. All you have to do is call him out. Simply say a prayer, Father, I know that I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you are my Savior, that you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be Savior of my life. I accept you, Jesus. See, folks, it's as simple as that. We want to make it hard, and we want to make it all theological. But I think it's really meant to be simple. It's meant to simply come in honest faith. And when we do that, folks, we get in the race. The race of faith. And in the race of faith, we focus on Him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for another day. I want to thank you for this opportunity to come and share about faith, about staying in the race. Lord, we love you. You are the champion. You are the finisher of our faith. Lord, we can't say enough how much we love you. Can't say enough how much we are thankful for what you've done, the work that you did on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody out there in the hearing of my voice today that wants to get in the race. Help them. I pray, Holy Spirit, go to them. Maybe they're driving down the highway. Maybe they're on their way to church and going to church has just become mundane and it's boring and there's no love. Bring the fire, Lord. Lord, I pray that every man and woman and person who's listening at my voice will be wooed back to you, Jesus. We thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, that has been a great series on focusing on Him. I got something special next week before we jump into what it's going to look like to have an attitude of gratitude as we look at the month of November. You're not going to want to miss it. And I want to thank you for being a part of your Sunday morning. And most of all, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.